Today's podcast features a very special guest, author and professional speaker, Kara Brookins, who is best known for being a mom who built her own house using YouTube tutorials. She is an author of 8 books, including her memoir, Rise, How a House Built a Family, which tells the story of building her 3,500 square foot home with the help of her 4 children by watching tutorials on YouTube and Googling resources to learn about foundation work, plumbing, and gas lines. The news about Kara's family's story went viral in more than 65 countries and has been viewed over 1 billion times. Rise has now been optioned to become a major motion picture and inspiring audiences to build bigger lives is Kara's greatest mission. Kara will be one of our keynote speakers during the 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference, The Power of Housing is Now, on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd in Lexington, Kentucky. Kara, we are delighted you could join us today. Welcome to our podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Building anything from the ground up can be quite challenging and overwhelming. What made you decide to build a 3,500 square foot home on your own by watching YouTube videos?
In retrospect, it sounds so much crazier than it did at the time. It really was a lot less of a stretch for me than I think it would have been for most people, just because I had been raised in kind of this DIY mindset. My parents were big DIY people. And it was, you know, of course, for me, it was a much smaller scale in that, you know, I would make my own earrings or a bookshelf or some art for the wall. But then the kids and I ended up in a really bad place. I was a victim of domestic violence and stalking and had just sort of reached, you know, I think what people would call rock bottom. And I knew that I needed to do some kind of a project with my kids that would bring us together. And we also needed a place to live. So at the time, it really was just sort of this natural and obvious thing to me that, well, obviously then we'll just build a house. And really that's, you know, that's why it worked, because we were in that extreme situation. And sometimes you have to take that kind of massive risk to pull yourself out. So it wasn't the extreme decision at the time that I think it looks like to other people.
Well, it would certainly be extreme for me to do that. I can barely install a light bulb without some kind of help. Kara, I've read your book. It's a phenomenal book. My wife actually just finished it a couple of weeks ago. After you built your home that also built your family, what made you decide to write the book, Rise, How a House Built a Family?
Yeah, writing that book was tough. You know, there was a really big part of me that just wanted to, you know, forget the past or just leave it in the past and keep pushing forward. I'm not a person who dwells on that sort of thing, but I just kept meeting people who needed the story, you know, people who needed someone to kind of spark them to the idea that they could do something massive, that they could literally build themselves a better life. Now, whether that was with a house or by building a business or something else, it was just that idea that other people were stuck, like I had been stuck, and hearing my story would help them. So it was a tough decision. And it actually took me 6 years of writing more than 12 versions of that book before I finally decided that I had a version that, you know, I was willing to share and that told the raw truth. But it was a really, really tough decision. In retrospect, it should have been easier, but sharing, you know, the house building stuff was easy. It was sharing the darker times, you know, sharing the biggest mistakes you ever made. That was really, really hard.
Well, your story is very, very inspiring. I had the fortune to hear you speak last year at the NCSHA conference. On this incredible journey, what was the biggest challenge you and your children work through during this project? Was it laying the block foundation one block at a time and creating the mortar by hand and using, you know, pails of water from a neighboring pond in frigid temperatures? What was the biggest challenge?
Yeah, absolutely. The foundation was the toughest part. You know, not just the footer of it, but the foundation with those concrete blocks. And really for a couple of reasons. First of all, physically, you know, I was a 110-pound computer programmer, not really built for this heavy construction work of carrying, you know, massive amounts of concrete and water. So physically, you know, it was freezing cold. We were bruised and sore, and we didn't have the right kind of clothing. You know, we didn't have proper boots or gloves. We're wearing like, you know, winter mittens, like knit mittens, like, you know, you would wear to catch the school bus, not like you would wear to build a house. So we were completely physically unprepared for that. that. But I think more importantly, we were just mentally unprepared to work on a team together. And being thrown together, you know, on this construction site where you're literally alone in the quiet all day long together, just me and the four kids. And the kids were 17, 15, 11, and 2. So we had a toddler somebody always had to be watching.
Wow.
And then a group of teenagers who didn't know how to communicate. When you're in that sort of a really extreme domestic violence situation, everybody kind of pulls inside of themselves. So here we were thrown out here to do stuff we had no idea how to do, where communication is essential, and we didn't know how to talk to each other. So that foundation was so challenging on so many levels. We were realizing, you know, how far in over our heads we were with this project and that there was no way out, you know, that we had to be all in and there was no way out.
Wow. Well, did you ever want to give up on the process? And in those times, maybe what motivated you to keep going?
Oh my goodness. I don't know that from the first day we started, if there wasn't ever a day when we didn't just wish there was some way out. Because we didn't know going in how hard it would be. But the way that we stayed motivated was I did two things and I did them pretty intentionally. I didn't give myself a way out. We spent every last penny that we had and that I could borrow on all the supplies to build this house. So here we have this mountain of 2x4s and glue and nails, and we need a house. There's no money left over to hire anyone to put that all together. So the only way out of that was to puzzle it all together into a house. So really, there was no way to back out. And, you know, secondarily, I wanted a better life for my kids. I just wasn't willing to go back to the way that we were living, you know, how we were living emotionally, because we were these small people who just saw ourselves as doing small things. But also just this, you know, this low point that we were at, I wasn't willing to go back there and send my kids, especially the teenagers at 17 and 15, out into the world thinking of themselves that way. So, you know, there's this a quote that I love by Charles Kettering, and he says, "No one would have crossed the ocean if they could have gotten off the ship in the storm."
Wow.
And I think of that as the way that we built the house. Like, yeah, if somebody would have offered us a way out, yeah, we probably would have bailed. But thank goodness we were locked into this with no plan B, because you know, the way that that allowed us to build and figure things out, not just how to build a house, but to figure things out as a family, it changed everything.
Well, how has that experience changed the relationship between you and your children?
Oh, wow. We went from those people who didn't know how to talk to each other to this powerful team. And not just while we were building, you know, of course, that happened through the process of building very quickly. And we learned to rely on each other. And really, we learned each other's talents, you know, what we were best at and could rely on each other for, and the things that we were really lousy at that we should pass off to another person. And today, we still do that. We work constantly together on businesses that we run together. And then various children run their own businesses, and I run my personal business. And we work together on those and pass off things that another person is more talented on in our business. And then on a more personal, emotional level, we just have this really honest and open way of communicating about everything. And that was certainly not what we did, you know, in the middle of a domestic violence situation where everything is secret, everything is so coded in shame. We're just extremely bold and honest. And, you know, even the kids with me, if they see me doing something that they're like, "Hey, that's a really bad move. And here's why I think you're making that and why you shouldn't," you know, they'll tell me. There's no ego in it. We're not afraid to fail in front of each other and to tell one another when we think we're failing or succeeding.
Well, do your children understand? I guess they probably do, and appreciate the story that is told from building your home. I'm sure they're much older now.
Yeah, now they're 27, 26, 21, and 12. So yeah, all mostly grown up kids, and even the 12-year-old is running his own business. So they
Good
all, yeah, they see it all from a different standpoint now. And it's really strange for us to watch the way that this looks in the media as opposed to the very, you know, sort of raw, gritty way that it was in real life. And I think that that's the thing that they notice the most, that people don't realize how extreme it really was, you know, at the time, the workload, you know, the just insane workload and how physically hard that was. It was just brutal. And then we see it in the media and it's, you know, clean, smiling, and, you know, talking about, oh, they built a house with YouTube. So it's a sort of a juxtaposition of, you know, reality over what it really felt like.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that we're getting a lot closer in the more recent media. And definitely as we're, you know, getting ready to produce a film, I know that they're going to get a lot more of the real grit in that. But the kids also notice the difference in the way the media approaches it as like me as a mom making a decision to build a house and like my kids tagging along. When in truth to us, it felt very much like a team decision.
Yeah.
And I mean, that sounds strange for a, you know, for me to say as a parent when my kids weren't very old. But if you think about it, the kids knew everything about building a house that I did. And that's not because I knew a lot, you know, we were going into this as equally ignorant people. So a suggestion that my 11-year-old had of how to do something was every bit as valid as a suggestion that I had. So we went into it as such an equal team, and there were certainly things that the kids were better at than I was, you know, and we leaned on each other so equally. So, yeah, to them, it's more a story of teamwork as opposed to leadership, which, you know, I think that the media presents it a slightly different way.
So, Kara, as a result of your experiences, do your friends or family members ask you to help with remodeling their homes?
Oh, goodness. Yes. I have so many people come to me. People will actually come and knock on my door and say, you know, my brother sent me over here. I have this question about like arc welding to reinforce some, you know, some rod I'm doing for concrete. But I'm not sure I'm in the right place because they're sort of surprised when they meet me. I'm not exactly who they expected to be asking. But oh, yes, people ask me all the time suggestions, and I love it. I've always loved, you know, to research energy efficient options, which I put a ton of in my house. That was super important to me. And just, you know, new ideas for how to put things together. So I'm constantly reading about housing options and looking at ways to change or move things around in my own. So I love it when people come to me with stuff like that.
Well, so can you imagine yourself ever building another house then?
You know, I never saw myself building one house. And it's interesting because, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, making your biggest goal and reaching for it. And people don't realize that my goal was never to be a construction worker. You know, my goal was to write books and to have a strong family. And building a house was just sort of one hurdle to get there. But would I build another house? My kids sometimes talk about it, especially the boys. You know, they'll say just offhand, oh, when we build my house, I want to do this. And I sort of groan, you know, oh no. But of course, I'll be there, right? I mean, they showed up every single day and worked on this house, which I think of as our family house, not as my house. And yeah, if they build a house, I will totally be there. I don't see myself building another one for myself. But yeah, for them, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Great. So, well, Kara, what is one piece of advice that you would like to express to our listening audience today?
You know, I think no matter what kind of thing you've been through or no matter how stuck that you feel in a current situation, anyone can build a better life. I was the least likely person as a programmer and an author to do this massive physical thing. But if you pick something that does feel slightly impossible, you know, that's the thing that will set you on a bigger, better course. And just, you know, don't relent. Keep going until you get there.
That's great advice. Kara, thank you so much for joining us today. Your story about your family's triumph and using a radical shift to change your family's trajectory is both fascinating and inspiring. I've thoroughly enjoyed reading your book and hearing you speak about your story. We've touched on it just a little bit today, but we certainly look forward to hearing more from you in August. Thank you again for your time with us today and sharing more about your inspiring story.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. And I can't wait to see what you guys do next. You're doing some great projects.
Thank you again. To our audience, you can learn more about Kara on our website at Kara, C-A-R-A, Brookins, B-R-O-O-K-I-N-S.com. That's again, KaraBrookins.com. Join us for the upcoming 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky. The theme is The Power of Housing is Now. Again, Kara Brookins will be one of our keynote speakers during this year's housing conference, and her time with us will include a VIP breakfast, which is a smaller session with limited seating to talk about her book, Rise, How a House Built a Family. Other terrific keynote speakers include Sam Glenn, who is a motivational speaker, author, and artist, and Jacob Tammy, a former University of Kentucky football player, NFL player for the Indianapolis Colts, Denver Broncos, and Atlanta Falcons, who serves as an advocate of homes for wounded U.S. veterans. We will also have very informative sessions and plenty of time for networking. Visit Kentucky Housing Corporation's website for more conference information and to register at www.kyhousing.org. Thank you for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.